is George.
This is Donna.
And this is currently with George and Donna. Hello, babies.
Hi, babies.
Babies. This is actually passedly. Past excursions.
Passedly.
Passedly with George and Donna.
Yeah.
We're getting caught up from many, many a time, almost a year without podcast. I heard an interesting fact the other day.
What did you hear?
That 1 in 100,000 podcasts make it.
Make it in what sense?
They record more than one episode.
That's making it?
Yeah.
Then we're doing good, buddy.
Yeah. High five. Like number 10 or 11 or 12.
Yeah. We're doing good then.
Yeah, we are.
So.
We missed 54 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We got 6 in.
We're going to get there. We're going to get them caught up.
Yeah.
We're
going
to be releasing like 17 a week until we get caught up.
Until you get caught up. And then we're going to quiz you on our survey that we're doing on our website that we don't have.
All right. Take that survey in your head in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah. Share with neighbors.
Anywho's. Yeah. As George said, this is a bunch of catch up from last year because we took such a long hiatus.
I like the idea of pretending that we're bigger than what we really are. Like, we can say, like, hey, we just started a Kickstarter, so go support us on the Kickstarter we don't have. It's all the things that I hear on podcasts. Like,
right.
Hey, go on our Patreon and make sure you you support us on our Patreon. Patreon is like a supporting thing.
Okay. Go to Casper. If you put in currently with George and Donna /Casper, you'll get 1,000,000% off.
Hey, you know what really saves us time is when we order food that's already home, ready for us to cook.
On Blue Apron.
Blue
order from Blue Apron and getting 1,000,000% off. Yeah, we don't have any of that.
We don't have any of that.
We will one day.
Not yet, maybe.
One day.
Maybe. They'd be like, you know what George and Donna are currently into? See, here's the thing. Like, there's some guys, like, there was a guy I heard about getting free stuff from people. And he's like, I don't like it getting free stuff because it's going to make me a little bit biased. So I like to just talk about what I actually like and learn. And I was like, dude, I love free stuff. If anybody wants to send me free stuff, I'll set up a P.O. box ASAP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did hear the other day there's a hotel in Bali that the guy like went off on Instagram or something like that and was like, I'm tired of influencer, quote unquote, influencers contacting me and be like, so here's the deal. You give us a free room for a week and then free everything else. And then like, we'll post about it and you'll get 1,000,000 more customers. He's like, I'm so tired of it. We were already popular before an influencer became a thing. We'll continue to be popular because we have a great hotel. It's like a boutique hotel. He's like, stop contacting me, asking me for free stuff.
I didn't think that. Well, that makes sense that they do that. Because I have seen guys say, hey, I'm into making these type of games or these type of DIY stuff. So I reached out to the person who has a special tool to see if they would send it to me so I could review it. Which I get. But the whole influencer thing, they just want a free trip to Bali.
Yeah, it's some lady who, like, got popular because she posts videos of her tiny baby kids. And now they're getting old. And they're 7 years old now. And not as cute. But she's, like, still a influencer.
Yeah.
Or, like, some workout person who's an influencer. And they're like, hey, small boutique hotel in Bali, wouldn't it be lucky for you if you let me come stay? And he's like, no, it wouldn't be.
I think that they're just like, they probably got free stuff, you know, like free promotional, free stay places, right? Because people reach out to these guys and do it. And then they're like, you know, they have their own lives. So they're like, how can I, you know, I want to go to Bali or Maldives. How do I get a free trip to Bali? Well, I'm an influencer. So... Mm-hmm. So I'm going to reach out and say, hey, look, I'll post about it. And you'll get, you know, 3 views. And
yeah. And this guy's like, the whole thing is so self, like, involved and grandeurizing or whatever the word is. Like, he's just like like, they're just like, I'm important, so let me come stay for free. Meanwhile, this guy's like, I got a business to run over here. I'm important too. You know, like, I need to make some money. You know, I get where he's coming from. Anyway, why did I start talking about this?
I don't know. We were just talking about free stuff and where people can send us free stuff.
Oh, yeah, because we don't have any of that. We're just joking around.
Yeah.
If you want to pay for a trip to Bali for us, look, I'm in no way saying don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm saying 100% do it.
Yeah.
I'll give you my home phone number.
We know several people who, you know, would look up the place on their Google. It would come up on their Google search. Do you want 3 more views on your Google search than you want currently with Jordan Donner to promote your product?
We know people who will take the time to look up where we are. So if you want that, you send us on a free trip to Bali.
Yeah.
And we'll take it, and we'll have at least 3 friends who are like, where are George and Donna? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they're in Bali. Mm.
Anywho.
That would be a good problem to have.
It would be a very good problem to have.
So, we're going to talk a little bit today as we get people caught up to currently about our birthdays.
We had 2 birthdays last year. Go figure. Yeah.
Every year, same time.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so for your birthday, we moved the day before. You did not want to be moving on your birthday. That was part of the pressure of moving. One of the past episodes, we just talked about moving and the horrendous experiences that we have with that. But
we
moved the day before your birthday. On your birthday, we were not moving.
We talked about that we had to get Mike, the mover, to move us out of our Airbnb place into my mom's for 2 weeks. So I was like, look, whatever we have to do, George, I just don't want to be moving on my birthday. My boot made it happen. We did not have to move on my birthday. So for my birthday, we did a staycation because we were already staying with my mom and my new daddy. So we're like, why not just go to a hotel in the city in New Orleans and do a weekend there out of our 2 weeks that we're staying over at my mom's? So we did. We went down to the Hyatt. Was it Hyatt?
Why not?
One of them. Hyatt or Marriott.
Yeah. They offered influencers opportunity to stay for a weekend. So we took them up on that and we paid them to do it.
Yes, we paid them to let us stay as influencers. We got the influencer price, which happens to be twice the normal rate.
Last minute bookings.
So we went, and my boob had purchased for me in June, the month before when we went to Vegas. George goes on a buying trip for his job. He's the jewelry manager. So he did a little side shopping. And he bought a little gemstone for me, a citrine, which I named Citrinica. And he made a little ring out of it.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful ring. And so he gave that to me that weekend, which I was so happy. And we stayed in the hotel. And we just went to the pool.
That's it. That's all we wanted to do.
Went to the pool. We went out to dinner.
Yep. Commander's
Palace. We went to dinner. And had a lovely little weekend staying in the city.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
The pool, there was like some dance team there.
There was like a bitty bopper cheerleader dance team convention. So they would do town. Like
all the backflips off the pool.
One girl had a straight up cast.
Yeah.
On her leg in the pool. And she was still mean. Like she was still, you could tell she was the alpha female of all the girls. Because your girl had a boot cast on her leg in the swimming pool and was still like, go over there. No, you go over here and we're going to do this over here. Mom, get me my water. Mother, now get me a towel. And I was like, who is this little girl? Because she's confident as heck with that boot cast on her leg. I would have been hiding and crying in a corner somewhere when I was her age with a boot cast. Thank God I never had one. But she was just like, look, I have not skipped a beat. I'm as sassy as the day I was born. I will boss everybody in this pool area around. In fact, I think at one point I might have went and got her a ginger ale. I can't remember. But she was sassy. Anyway, there was this whole dance team convention going on.
So then, like, we thought, you know, it was just going to be a chill day by the pool with adults, but it didn't end up being that way. And then, yeah, we had a lovely time for your birthday. For my birthday, remind me, we did what?
You just wanted to play games for your birthday again, right? Just have like a low-key type of thing. So we really didn't do much. I know we just got back from Baltimore because mm-hmm. we were at Baltimore until, what, like August 31st or September 1st?
Yeah, exactly. So we just had a low-key like for mine, but I think that was the vision of last year was low-key. Mm-hmm. Low-key birthdays.
Yeah.
And then the whole time, moving, doing all this stuff, you're getting your real estate license.
Yes. I started my classes in January when we still lived at our old house. I took my test in April. I finished my classes. Then I took my test in April, finished it. Did not get my license though for strategic reasons until July. I applied for my license. So I officially started with Keller Williams on my birthday on July 1st.
Nice.
So yeah, I started with Keller Williams. It's a great company. I really love it. They have a lot of training opportunities. But it's been a little bit of a challenge because, you guys, I'm still a scientist. I still work for the government. I work 45 hours a week. I'm there from 8 to 6 most days. So it's been a real carnival ride trying to work 45 hours a week and then also start this secondary business. I really love the real estate. I really do. I like getting out there, getting out of my office, getting out of the lab, meeting with people, showing houses, stuff like that.
Well, you did it beforehand. Before you got your license, it was just something you liked to do, was check out houses and research and see what the market was. So I remember kind of adding to your enthusiasm about it. It's just like, it just makes sense.
Yeah. I passed the test. I got my license. And then I started with Keller Williams in July, but I didn't actually start working until September because we were traveling so much. So I kept telling my coach at Keller Williams, oh, I'm not ready to start yet. I'm not ready to start yet. I have my license, but I'm not ready to start yet. So I ended up taking the first training classes at Keller Williams in September. Mm. Which, again, they're a great company. They're so supportive. I really couldn't say anything higher about that company. We have coaches. We have dependable staff. We have great agents to rely on and ask questions to. Everybody's been so helpful. Did get it going, though. Started making money.
Yeah, that was the whole purpose was this little thing we need to survive on with the bigger house and all that stuff that we have is money.
Yeah.
Money, 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 money.
So finally got it kicking. Got it started, got it going, and it's been really fun.
Yeah. What's your favorite part of it?
So I'm tempted to say the schedule, but I don't, it's like a funny answer. I don't actually have that schedule yet, but I've got a taste of that schedule. That's why I can say the schedule is my favorite part. Because let me tell you guys a little thing that happened in January called the government shutdown. I was a furloughed government employee from like December 22nd or so, 21st, to like the end of January. So I was off of my government job for a whole month. And during that time, I got a taste, tiny little nibble of being a real estate agent. And the schedule is the best thing. I've had agents come up to me and say, I raised 3 kids as an agent, and I wouldn't have done it any other way because I didn't miss a single ball game. I didn't miss a single school dance. I didn't miss a single function, PTA, whatever. Because as a real estate agent, you get to kind of make your own schedule. If you're working in a lab from 8 to 6 every day, you don't really get to do that. So I got a taste of that, and it was really fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. But also, you know, seeing the houses. I love houses. I've always looked at houses. Always. You'll catch me tonight. Like, it's my second job, but you'll still catch me looking at houses online. So.
That's cool. It's tough, I think, having two jobs in that sense. But I guess there's a little, like you said, more flexibility with the second one.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to me, being in commission, the amount of freedom agent has when you're full commission like that. Because I'm also full commission, but there is such a niche market that I'm in that they have a little bit more control of, like, yeah, you're working here from 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
Monday through Saturday, you know, and you get the opportunity to sell these things, which is, I mean, it's fantastic because I do get to sell some very important paintings and pieces of jewelry and things like that.
Different business. We should talk about that one day for those listeners out there. Like, you get to talk about this kind of stuff that you get to sell. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you'll hear about that on the Never episode where we talk about that stuff. We don't want to break the tradition of mentioning something we're going to talk about and then not talking about it. But yeah, it was just, you know, it's kind of really interesting, just the different aspects of commission jobs.
Yeah. I tell you what, if there was a real estate job out there that paid an hourly wage, whew, that would be tempting. But yeah. So I really love it. I got into it for two reasons. I'll just go ahead and say it. Number one, because my supervisor at my current job makes job security feel very unattainable. And then number two, because it's our dream, myself and George, is our dream one day to flip houses.
Yeah. So this is kind of a good little introduction into that area.
Yeah. So it's been very exciting. I did have a client right off the bat. I'll tell you guys, it was my first heartbreak. I showed this couple, oh goodness, like 15 houses. I spent time writing an offer on one house that I strongly advised them that they lowballed, and they did it anyway. They didn't get it. And then that second house, we spent hours on two separate occasions in that house. They invited both sets of parents over. And then lo and behold, after the weekend, I had worked with them for probably about three or more months. After they invited both sets of parents over, lo and behold, the next weekend, they were like, oh, we're going to go with another agent. And so the one of the parents had an agent in their back pocket, and I did all the legwork, and the next agent got to reap all the benefits. And to tell you I was heartbroken is an understatement. George can tell you, it was bad. I was just like, I can't believe I did all this work for free for this couple, and they're so hurtful in the way that they treated me, to put it lightly. But they really did. If they ever listen to this podcast, you know who you are. You did me wrong. But it was a learning experience, and I'm coming out of the other side grateful for it. You know, everything God brings to you, you gotta assess, realize why it happened, and come out the other side having learned from it. And so that experience, it was a tough one. It was tough to feel so betrayed, you know? But I came out the other side thinking, that's okay. Higher, better, faster, stronger, and all the other Kanye things.
Kanye West.
And it just made me more passionate about real estate and more passionate about learning and, like, doing better and growing and all that stuff. And here I am, many months later, over a year after passing my exam, and doing good, doing great.
Yeah, crushing it.
Crushing it. You gotta thank God for those people who get in your way early on that make you go, I'm not doing that again. I know your type. I see you.
Well, in my job, there's something called the fantasy shopper.
A looky-loo.
No, there's the looky-loo, the best looky-loos you've ever seen. Which is okay, but actually, the Fantasy Shopper is the one that I learned the lesson on pretty quick. Mm. Which is, like, they call on this very high dollar item, and they're like, amazing, I love it, do you have anything else like it? And I'm like, yeah, I have, you know, another thing like it. And they're like, okay, cool, put that on the list. Okay, cool, and so they're getting me hyped up, and they're like, how much is that? Is that the best you can do on that? That's not bad. And then they ask about another thing. And so we're 10 items in, and I'm writing a spreadsheet. I'm typing things down because it's getting out of from what I can remember off of the top of my head. So I start writing spreadsheets, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then they ask me about another thing and another thing and another thing. I'm like, hold up. When am I going to see a check for the very first thing? And they're like, yeah, but hold on. You hold on. I need to get answers on these other 10 things first. And so you get caught in this circle of a fantasy shopper that will never send you a check ever.
I remember... Oh, bless you.
Thank you.
I remember you had one fantasy shopper, which... Oh, you guys, the feeling of betrayal. We can't describe it. You had to have felt it with us. But George's betrayal came in the form of a man named Brian, who... called George and really talked the talk big time.
Talked the talk.
And expressed how interested he was in an item that George had that, I don't know, cost a lot of money. And said, you know, he was going to be ready to purchase it soon.
So, yeah, I started writing the offer and everything like that. And then
George, you know, George did the legwork. Like, I did the legwork with that couple. You know, you spend many hours working for people. Yeah. Many, many hours. So George did the legwork, doing the negotiating, writing up the paperwork, and then decided to go ahead and Google the address that the guy had given him.
Which was a motel.
It was like a strip mall.
Strip mall, motel. And I was like, hold up. This is either a really smart, rich person who, like, holds on to their money. But there's certain things that you start to notice, like, of wealthy people, like what they say versus what they don't say.
Uh-huh.
Like, if I say, like, you know, it's this much, $1 million, and they're like, oh, that ain't bad. Wealthy people don't say that. They just stay shut. Right. And they, you know, if they say they'll take it at that value and they don't negotiate a little bit, very rarely. If they talk too much, you know, very rarely. Now, everybody's different. There could be a wealthy person that talks a lot. And,
mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they're just normal human beings. Right. Like everybody else, you and I don't go around flaunting or talking about how many houses we have and what room it'll
fit. Well, we have one house, if anybody's wondering.
Yeah, no, but... You know what I'm saying? Like, we just don't lie like that. And there's people that do. So you learn. So we both had heartbreaks.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I had the opposite situation happen. So in your case, they'll talk about how much they want to spend and they'll keep going up and up and up. In my case, the couple that shall remain nameless that I felt betrayed by, they told me $500,000 is our max. And I texted them about it more than once and talked to them about it and called them. And I said, look, give me your absolute max because I don't want to send you anything over that. I don't want to go over your budget. I want to be respectful of what you're looking at and what I'm sending you. Oh, we just can't go over $500,000. I said, okay. Yeah, they ended up, once the parents stepped in, and the parents, I guess, had the agent in the back pocket and... had them go with somebody else. They ended up spending $650,000 on a house.
Wow.
Yeah. So you gotta be honest with the people. In both scenarios, don't say you have too much to spend when you don't have that much. And don't say you only have something to spend when you have more than that. When you're working with a salesperson, be honest with them.
Yeah. Then and they if can you're find a fantasy shopper and you say the check's in the mail, which I've gotten emails that say the check's in the mail, you know, give me a tracking number.
Right.
That'd be very helpful. But those are our topics for today.
Yeah.
Thank you, babies, for joining us and listening to our heartbreaks, our birthdays, And what else?
Not the same thing.
Not at the same time.
The birthdays were happy. The heartbreaks were lessons learned.
Lessons learned and our wedding experience over the last summer that we'll never forget.
Yeah.
Besides our own.
Yes.
That was like in the top.
Right.
All right, babies. Have a great night and we'll see you next time.
Bye.